Begin the Quran Dav Mesach the Shabbos Dav Mem Test. Begin the Aleph. Begin the Test of Masach. It begins the words of the Gemara. Valazah Shabbashas Malacha. And we make a decree regarding this spraying of the purification waters at a time when it is involved in the same activity. Mesham Hazah Shabbashas Malacha, because of spraying it when it's not at the time of when it's doing that Malacha. Shteis can explain why is the stick not considered one with the axe regarding the Hazah. We learned in the Braisa regarding the multi-part scissors and the izamel shehitni, the plane of the carpenters, say that it's considered attached with tumah, and it's not considered attached for hazah. Now the Gemara asks, monafshach, either way, either it should be attached for both or not attached for both. So Rava answered, you're right, biblically, they're both attached. They're attached for both tumah and for hazah. But rabbinically, we made a gzera, each one stringently, that for tum it should be even shalei b'shas malacha, and hazah should not even be even b'shas malacha because of the other case, which it's not going to be that case, whether b'shas malacha or shalei b'shas malacha. Now, Tais says, tame, it's a wonder. No gabi makal sha'aso yad l'kardim, regarding the stick that the Gemara spoke about previously, that when you make it a handle for the axe, come, the Gemara says, that it's considered attached for the laws of tum. Even though a stick by itself is pshutikli, it's not mekabel tumah, but when it's attached to the X, said it's considered a handle, a yad, and it's mekabel tumah. Now, from the fact that the Gemara said that it's considered a handle for tumah, mashma, it sounds like avaloi laza, but not for the purification, for that it's not considered as one. And that is tasted by my bawai, bole shaykh le migzer hasam. The whole reason why we say a differentiation here in our Gemara in the conclusion is because of a gzera. But there, it's not applicable to make a gzera. That we're not going to let it be considered as one for the Hazah b'shas malacha when it's together because of when it's not during when you're using it for, let's say, chopping down a tree. That's not applicable over there, because like the Gemara said, because the Adam Asla Zarka Bena Eitzim, we said that regarding this axe, the handle is only there b'shas malacha. When you're not b'shas malacha, it's not together. You throw the piece of wood between the pieces of wood. So since when it's not b'shas malacha, the stick is not even in the axe itself, so you cannot make the gzeir, oh, you might consider it as one when you're not doing malacha, because then it's not even together. The Shlomit says, what you could say is, the hasam la have a chibur la hazah. The reason why over there, by the axe, the handle is not considered attached for hazah, meaning even b'shas to malacha, when it is together, is mishum nafila b'shas malacha, because the truth is, even during the time of when you're doing work with it, lo have a chibur dvater. Biblically, actually, the axe and the handle is not considered as one, even during b'shas malacha. Because the lechash of klal base yad b'shum pam, you're never really considering it as a handle, really at any time, even when you're doing work with it. Why? Kimin shu us lazarka kol shot. Since at any point in time you're going to just throw it out and put it with all the other piece of wood, so even when you're doing work, it's not really biblically considered. And therefore, for hazah we can't consider it as one. Yeah, rabbinically we could consider it when it's b'shas malacha that we're going to consider it as tame, but biblically even it's not even considered as one for the hazah. Next says the master begins the words of the Gemara. But not regarding a moist garment. Shteis can explain that actually Rebbe Yishiyah is disagreeing with our Mishnah. That as Gemara brought the Brice of Rebbe Yishiyah, that you're allowed to insulate Erev Shabbos in dry garments and dried produce, but not in moist garments and moist produce. Now what's bothering Tais is that later on the Gemara brings a Mishnah, meaning we have our Mishnah, that says you're allowed to insulate in garments and in produce. Now for the fact that the Mishnah doesn't differentiate, it sounds like even if it's moist or dry. So Tais says, yeah, near the Rebbe Yishiyah Palig Amastit, and it seems like Rebbe Yishiyah disagrees with our coming Mishnah, that by the Mishnah we see it's permitted even if it's moist, and Rebbe Yishiyah holds it's forbidden. Continuing next Tais the Maschel, Tais begins with the words of the Gemara, Ke Elisha Bal Kanafayim, like Elisha, the winged one. Tais can explain that the thrust of Tais is that why are we not particular these days to wear tefillin all day? That the Gemara brings this whole story, which Rebbe Yanai, that for tefillin, you have to have a clean body, like Elisha, Bal Kanafayim, that he wore tefillin even at a time when it was decreed not to, and an officer saw him and caught up with him and asked him, what does he have? He took it off his head, and he says, oh, I just have, you know, the wings of a dove. He opened up his hand, and there was the wings of a dove. The tefillin turned into kamfiyin. Now, first, Tais is bothered that, first of all, how do you see from this story that Elisha was particular about a clean body? Doesn't say anything about him having a gufnuk, it just says a miracle happened to him. So it's Tais, not Elisha. The reason why they picked this story with Elisha is the mistama. We could presume kimish nasli nesbet tefillin, since a miracle happened with the tefillin that it turned into the kambiyana, must be hayizar ben, That's why he had the miracle happen for him, because he was careful with that mitzvah, which is v'hoyle gufnuki, which is because he had a clean body. Now, Tosfos says, umizeh tam. From this reason that the Gemara is going to explain that you need to have a clean body so that one doesn't pass gas or fall asleep with it and to could cause other things like a seminal emission or passing gas, ain't on yuchain li pater. So Tosfos, that's not enough to exempt ourselves from wearing tefillin all day. Why? Because we could be careful in this not to pass gas and falling asleep without tefillin. And therefore, that's not enough of a reason to say why we would not have to wear tefillin all day. But at the same time, says Tosfos, but it's not a wonder, although it's not enough to exempt themselves, but it's not a wonder why we're very lax in this of wearing tefillin all day. Because even in the days of the sages, this mitzvah was lax by them. Any mitzvah that the Jewish people did not give up their life at a time of when the kings had decreed not to fulfill that mitzvah, which they were not mitzvah nefesh, it's very lax by them, and therefore that's why the reality is like that. So it's not a wonder why Jewish people who are generally stringent are not careful with wearing tefillin all day. Now, says Tosfos, what's the understanding? Why are the Jewish people lax? So it says, it says this that we say in the first paragraph of Shana of Yitzayim and Alf, that Paish Yisrael Begufan, Tosfos is explaining what's bothering him here. The Gemara says over there that the sinners of the Jewish people in their body, who is that? That's Karkaf de Leib Manach Tfilm. That's a skull that doesn't put on film. So that's what's bothering Tosfos. So why are the sages not protesting when the people are not wearing film all day? It's considered a Paish Yisrael Begufan. So remember, in time it says, the Mairi Ba'isin Sha'isin Machmas Murad. That's considered people who, the reason why they're not wearing tefillin is because of rebelliousness. Umavazna mitzvahs, and they disgrace the mitzvahs, and they laugh and they mock at the straps of the tefillin and their hands on their heads. Those are the people that are considered Paish Yisrael Begufan. But not those that are not wearing tefillin because they don't want to pass gas or because they might fall asleep with it. As the proof of that is, because I'm human, like the Gemara says in Yom Tov Lamed Vav and Beis, when we're saying Peishei Yisrael Begufan, B'shoam Elah Maradun, that's only those who rebel. You can't call someone who's not wearing it because of a legitimate concern as Peishei Yisrael Begufan. So, but again, what's the reason why the Jewish people are lax? So it's Taisus V'hadam of a Medrash, this that's brought in the Medrash. Tefillin Memnei Malo Hirziga Behen, why are the Jewish people not so established in the midst of Tefillin, says the Medrash, Memnei Haramayim. Because of the people that are trickers, where they would put on tefillin to trick people into thinking that they're very trustworthy and upstanding, and people should deposit their money them without witnesses, and that's going to cause that people are going to be swindled. So that's why even upstanding people weren't particular about the mitzvah tefillin, which says Tosfos in your Lari, that does not seem to be correct according to the Ri. The Mishum Ramon, that because of people that are crafty, Nimnu Malasas Mitzvah, that should stop the Jewish people from doing a mitzvah wearing tefillin. Elohi Pershay says, no, that's not what the Medrash means to say. Rather, what the Medrash means to say is, Bimnei Malo Hirziku Namanis. Why do we not presume trustworthiness? Bad Mamanich Tefillin, seemingly he's a big tzaddik, he wears tefillin all day. No, but come, that's the Medrash says, Bimnei Ramon, because they're swindlers. Shemenichin Tefillin Laramis Me'odin, they wore tefillin all day just to trick people. The Medrash brings a story over there, Ma'isav Talmud Echad, that there was a story of one student, Shehifkid Ma'isav Eitzel Echad Chayim Neich Tefillin, that he deposits money by someone he saw, it must be a righteous person, wears tefillin all day. Now, Keshatavabai, when he came to claim the money's back, Amalah Haddam, he says, which stands for Loi Hayu Dvar Ma'ilam, never happened, you never deposited money by me. So Amalah Yosef Talmud, so that student said to him, Loi Lachovkati, you're right, I didn't deposit money by you. Ela Tefillin Shal Reishcha, I deposited tefillin on your head. Meaning, because you wore tefillin, you look like an upstanding person, but really you're not. But says Tosfos concludes with Sarach Incham, one really has to analyze over there that what's the true interpretation of that medrash. So therefore, he says that it would seem the primary interpretation, like the first pshat, which is that the reason why people are not particular to wear tefillin all day is because they're concerned about not to be able to keep their body clean, or they're concerned about falling asleep. So Tosfos told us two reasons why people are lax in wearing tefillin all day in the days of the sages and contemporarily is either because they're concerned about not keeping their body clean or awake, or because of the swindlers that they wear tefillin all day, and we don't want people to take up that approach to swindle people, but Tosfos says one has to be ma'ayin on that reasoning. The next Tosfos begins the words of the Gemara, Abaye Amar. He says, Shaloya Fichben. The reasoning is that one should not pass gas with them. So he's come to explain that why was Abaye not concerned for the other reasoning of falling asleep with the tefillin. That is, the Gemara brought from Bianai, tefillin needs to be have a clean body like Elisha Balkanafayim. So what does that mean, clean body? So Abaye said not to pass gas. Rabbi says that one doesn't fall asleep in it. So he explains that just that Abaye says that one should not pass gas means to say that a person has to be able to safeguard himself that he shouldn't pass gas actually tefillin. Only then is that considered a clean body that can wear tefillin. Can be pierced because, like Rashi explains it. But what this means to say is, he wasn't concerned for Rava's reasoning that you might fall asleep with it. Meaning the avagav the ba'amim, because even though sometimes that might happen, but he could keep himself. We don't have to be definitive about that. We think that he could keep himself from falling asleep. Whereas Rava matzuch, no, Rava required gam sheyochel lahamid asmei b'shoshet tachzenashino. No, we have to be able to know for sure that he's going to be able to hold himself back even at a time when sleep is taking him on. Shleyashim pissim that he shouldn't suddenly fall asleep. If he can't guarantee that, then that's not considered a clean enough body to wear tefillin. Now, but Taisa points out that that's a machlekes Abaye and Rava. If we have to be definitive about it, because amiu Abaye nami moed, because as Taisa says, Abaye also definitely agrees. The aslishman they not sleep with tefillin. Okay, the Tanya Paragayasha, like the Brisa teaching Sukkah Chavov Madal, the aslishman tefillin you not sleep with tefillin. Benchin is kava, benchin is arai, whether a permanent sleep or a temporary sleep that he agrees to. It's just that are we concerned for that or not? The next Taisa Damascus begins the words of the Gemara, shalishin b'hem. That was the next interpretation, that of Rava. That is, the clean body has to be that we're not concerned that you're going to fall asleep with it. So he's going to explain what's the concern about falling asleep. So Taisus brings that mishum, because that's a concern, that shalo yafich behem b'shashina, either because you might pass gas when you're sleeping, and mishum hasachadas, or because, pretty obvious, when you're sleeping, your consciousness is removed from the tefillin, which you have to keep your thoughts always on the tefillin. Al mishum kari, but says Taisus, because of the other reasoning, that of like Rashi had said that one of the concerns is because when a person is sleeping he might have a seminal emission. Says Taisa, no, for that ain't lachish, that's not a concern. Kadam Perkayashin, like the Gemara over there in Sukkah, and the Chavav over there on Bay says that the Brisa taught that if someone's going to lay down during the daytime, it doesn't have to take off a tefillin, but at nighttime he has to. With Amar Biyasi, he explained. He said, but the Yeladim, which are the Gemara assumes originally is the young boys that are unmarried, loyim chaltsin, they always have to take off the tefillin even during the daytime, because they're accustomed to become tummy. So the Gemara originally understands that what he means to say is that the young boys that they think of impure thoughts and they have a seminal emission and therefore you now go to sleep with the tefillin. But Parchan, the Gemara asks, lemik sub Rabbi Yechon, is that Rabbi Yisi? Is that Rabbi Yisi holds balkari also lenich tefillin, that a person with a seminal emission is forbidden to wear tefillin? Because that's what it sounds like. That's why then I'll go to sleep with the tefillin during the daytime. And the Gemara says, no, hacha b'yiladim, when we're saying the young ones, we don't mean bachrim. The young ones, v'nishasei mimoim askin. We're talking about the young ones, the newly married ones, who are with their wives. What's the concern? If they're going to lay down during the afternoon, shemi yivoy lehergal davar, maybe the wife is going to lay down with them, and they're going to come to tashmish amita, to marital intimacy. And that's why that's something that's inappropriate to do with tefillin. That's why it says you have to take off tefillin during the daytime. The inference is of mishum keri, but because of seminal emission, leboy lemeser. For that, you don't have to make it forbidden. So from there, you see that when they're concerned that one might see seminal emission during sleeping when the tefillin's on them, so therefore, rather says Taisus, either because of passing gas or because of hasach hadas. So next, Taisus the Matzah that begins the words of the Gemara, notla mireishai. He took it off his head. Taisus comes saying, why was Elisha not meiser nefesh for the mitzvah tefillin? That is, we had this whole story where you have to have a clean body like Elisha, where he was so careful with the mitzvah, therefore he had a miracle that happened for him, which was he was wearing the tefillin, even the time of gzeira, that you're not allowed to wear it, and then this officer ran after him, he took it off, he held it in his hand, he said it was kamfiyayna, and that's what happened. But Taisa bothered. Why did he take the tefillin off his head? Because Taisa said, va'avagav d'am b'sanedjin, although the Gemara says in Sanedjin, the b'shaz gzeira samalchus, when the government makes a decree regarding afilal mitzvah kali, even on the most smallest, most insignificant, so to speak, mitzvah, the halach is yehar gval yavar, at a time of shmad, yet one has to give up his life and not violate, v'afil l'shnuy arkas of the mesana, even to change the shoelaces from the way a Jew does to the way a non-Jew does, if the government makes a decree on the Jewish mitzvahs, also even that's forbidden, to change even that small little minig. So how here he could have taken off his tefillin if that was at a time of shmad? So Tzai says, no, because hainu mishum, that's different, the way the Gemara in there in Sanhedrin describes. Because yes, even the Bishina Arkasa, even changing the shoelaces, even what is that? It's not even halacha, it's a minig. But that's because Misnai Evid Kachavim, because then he's doing the shoelaces like a non-Jew, like the idol worshiper. That would appear like, under that situation, that as if he's removing himself from the category of a Jewish person. Yeah, that's forbidden to be done under any circumstance that one has to have Yag Val Yaber. Avloch over here, he's not doing anything. All it is that he's not having tefillin for one moment when he's taking over his head. The Harbi Yisrael she'elim tefillin kamaisa. There's many Jewish people that are not wearing tefillin on their head like him. And since it's not recognizable that as if he's changing to be like a non-Jew, not like changing your shoelaces how the non-Jews do it, for that one does not have to be Maisa Nefesh. So next taste the master begins words of the Gemara, Kunafel Meginas Alau. Its wings protected. Shteis can explain why did Elisha pick specifically the wings of a yoin of a dove more than the wings of any other bird? Whereas we brought in that story where he said that what does he have in his hands count for yoin? It turns out, oh, the tefillin like turned into the wings of a dove. So the Gemara says, why did he pick count for yoin? Oh, because the Jewish people are compared to a dove. Just like a dove, its wings protected, so to the Jewish people, the mitzvahs protect them. Now, what Bob says is that why is a dove any different than all of the birds that their wings protect them? So Imri the Reis says, because the Amin of Medrash, it's brought in the Medrash, Kala Eifis Keshen Yegein, all birds when they're weary, when they're tired out, Ninoichen Al Gabi Sala, they rest on top of a rock. But then they're in a precarious situation because then people could catch them. Vayayna B'shosh Yegei, but the dove when it's tired, Parechas Pa'achas V'Ninoicha Pa'achas. It still flies with one wing and the rest with the other one. So it doesn't use both wings, it alternates one wing from the other one. Comes out that the wings are protecting it more than the other bird because it's not on the rock to be caught by the people. It's flying with one of the two wings, and that's why that was specifically picking that of the wings of a dove versus some of the other birds. Turn next taste of masters begins the words of the Gemara. Taimnim b'shlachim. We could insulate it with the hides of the animal. And they could be moved. So you can explain exactly which hides are we allowed to move. Because the Mishnah said this halacha that a taste of masla is quoting, that one could insert Erev Shabbos in the hides, and he's even allowed to move them on Shabbos too. But Tais is bothered, Hadam, the Perakam, the Beya, this that says in the first Perakam, the Beya, the Fianalf, the Halacha, that Nois Na'ur, you're allowed to put a piece of leather, Lefne Hadarsh, in front of the people, that step, which is that part of the processes of that the leather shouldn't get ruined, you need to step on it, that's permitted from the animal that was slaughtered on Yom Tov, you're allowed to spread out that leather in front of the people to step on it. What's the reason? The tira seifa mishum tchilasin. They permitted the end because of the beginning. Meaning, although really, well, that's not something that should be permitted to be done on Yom Tov, to have the people step on it and be part of the tanning process on Yom Tov, but they permitted because of the beginning. What's the beginning? Pirish kadesh yishchol letzarech Yom Tov. So that people should slaughter an animal for the purposes of Yom Tov, because if they can't use the hides, they're not gonna slaughter because the hides are gonna get ruined. So we let people step on it as part of the process of perfecting that hide, so that people will slaughter it on Yom Tov too. Now, well, says Taisis, I will erd me'er Yom Tov, but it definitely sounds like, but a hide from an animal that was already slaughtered from before Yom Tov, we don't have the svar anymore that they're not going to slaughter such an animal. Mashma Hasam sounds like from that Gemara, the Asul Taltal, that you're not allowed to move that hide because it's Mukta. Now, whereas from our mission over here, it sounds like that you're allowed to move any hide on Shabbos, even from that which was slaughtered from before Shabbos. Another difficulty is in Perikol Kisri, the Gemara later on, the Kuf Tezayin Mabeis, it's the Gemara there discusses regarding Machlekes, regarding when one is skinning the hide of the Korban Pesach, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so you can't just skin whatever you want to do, because it's Shabbos, but you could do whatever's necessary for the Korban. Bishmol held that one should skin the animal from the feet till the chest, just enough that you could get out the limbs to sacrifice, the Emurim. But you can't skin it all the way on Shabbos because that's forbidden to be done on Shabbos. It's not necessary for the carbon. But permit to skin the whole thing. On that comer, the Gemara says that what's their machlek is dependent on two things. First of all, they disagree, is the skinning of the animal a malacha that's forbidden to be done on Shabbos? And they also disagree with the laws of Tiltul of Mukta. Shmuel holds, you're not allowed to move the hide that was skinned. On that, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel, im etaltlan teka sefer, if you could move the on Shabbos, a container of a sefer that has money inside of it, which generally you're not allowed to move the case because of the money that's inside of it, but you're allowed to move it if it's im ha-sefer, that if inside the container there's also the sefer, so since you're allowed to move the sefer, so you're allowed to move also the container that is holding it, so loina total or agav basar, so what, you shouldn't think that we should be allowed to move then the skin, the hide of the animal, because of the meat that's attached to it that you are allowed to move? So for sure you should be allowed to move this skin too. Now, but one thing is, says Tosfos, mashmit sounds like the herb loy basar, but if you have the skin without the meat, yeah, then for sure asay would be forbidden to be moved. But that's again the difficulty here in our Mishnah. It sounds like the heart of the animal is allowed to be moved, even if there's no meat attached to it. So he says, Pirish Rashi b'per kol kisvus. Rashi over there explains that the halacha over here in our Mishnah, which you're allowed to move the hides, that's ma'ir b'or b'hem agasa. That's talking about the hides of a large animal, which that type of a skin, of like a cow, which you make leather out of it, that's fit to recline on it and lean on it, and therefore you're permitted to move it, because it has utility on Shabbos, and it wasn't set aside like muktzah. But v'hasim over there by the Karban Pesach, that's b'or b'hem adaka. That's the skin of a small animal, because the Karban Pesach only comes from sheep and from cattle, from flock, and not from cattle, not from large animals. Oh, dulechazi lemizgu kulei, that's not really fit. It's not like a big piece of leather that you could really recline on, and therefore it's forbidden to be moved. But Tais is bothered by Rashi's parish, because why in Masechtas Beya did they say you're allowed to move the skin, the hide of an animal of slaughter and yomtiv, only because of Seifim Mishim Tchelasa, because or else people are not going to slaughter? What do you mean? You should say very simple, because the hide is fit to recline on. So says Taisu Lepirusha, according to Rashi's interpretation, that he said that the reason why you're allowed to move the hide is because you could recline on it. What you have to say is Haide Beya, that Gemara Masechtas Beya, Nami Mairi Bo'er Behem Adaka. That you have to say that there is also talking about the hide of a small animal, which is not fit for reclining. And therefore, yes, it would be muktzah forbidden to be moved, if not for the reason of that people would not go ahead and slaughter the animal. Then Tais is bothered by another question. What did non-perikol kisvei? But this is the Mishnah teaching on Daf Kof Chof Amarav. Parson or Gedi. You're allowed to spread out the skin of a kid goat, al gabe ateva v'chulu, on top of a box that there's a fire is grabbing hold of it. And the reason why you're allowed to do it is because it's not really going to burn the skin of the goat. It's just going to singe it. It's just going to slightly get it dark, but not burn it. But Tais is bothered. The Agadi is a behemadaka, is a small livestock. And he's saying its hide is not fit to recline it. So forget about the fact if it's going to get burnt or not. How are you allowed to move it? It's muktzah. So he says, Tzarech lema l'perusha. So according to Rashi Pshat, what you have to say is, Demari kishayichto liyeshiva. That skin of the goat that we're talking about over there was designated for sitting purposes already. And therefore, it's not muktzah, because you had designated for sitting, whatever you use, even a rock, if you designated for something, it's not muktzah. And therefore, you're allowed to move it. And therefore, again, they just didn't have the problem about getting burnt. But says Taz, Rebbein Tam Afar, she gives a different interpretation. It says, Dehacha mayer b'yevashin. Here in our sugya, it's talking about where the skins of the animal are dry. The chazil mizgalai, where it's fit to recline it. V'asim over there is simply because balachin, because they're moist. And if they're wet, they're not fit to recline it. And therefore, over there, it's saying that it's muktzah. Tais brought the interpretation of Rashi to differentiate between the hides of large animals, which generally you could use for reclining, and therefore it's not muktzah, to the sugya over there, to the hides of small animals, which generally it's not meant for reclining, unless you specifically designate it for that. Whereas according to Rebbein Tam, the difference is, over here it's talking about the hides are dry, which then is generally for reclining, and there it's talking about where it's moist, which generally not for reclining.